WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The majority of male drag performers insult women. Danny LaRue, a famous English entertainer, pads himself heavily. For him, femininity is achieved with heroic struggling, and his audience is reassured that men and women are nothing alike. Charles Pierce, another drag performer, advertises his homosexuality by identifying with the women he impersonates, figures like Joan Crawford, Betty Davis, and Judy Garland. He dresses up like these women, but he doesn't like them. He delights in pointing up their egotism, loneliness, and self-abuse. Women represent Pierce's sissy, damaged self. Femaleness is a place to go slumming, and his male gender is never in doubt. But another movement in drag that is friendly to women evolved in the wake of the women's and gay rights movements. This work was best represented by the inspired lunacy of the late Charles Ludlam. Ludlam didn't disguise his gender. For him, the movement from boy to girl was not an arduous struggle or a decadent fall, but a pass through a door to another part of the self. Fortunately, Ludlam left creative descendants, among them Charles Bush, the British satirical troupe Blue Lips, and newcomer John Epperson. Epperson, a.k.a. Lip Synca, is currently staging I Could Go On Lip Syncing, one of the wittiest and strangest shows I've seen in quite a while. Epperson is occasionally accompanied by fanciful, minimal puppets, but otherwise, for 75 minutes, he alone mouths lyrics, dances, and vogues to numbers by showbiz belters like Connie Francis, Nanette Fabre, Anne Margaret, and Pearl Bailey. His one-man show is an exuberant, mesmerizing whole, plumbing and levitating fear of blurred boundaries. Numbers flow into one another, and costumes are changed on stage with a maximum of tease. Epperson's face is made up with huge red lips and eyebrows that zig up, then arrow toward the floor. It's part clown face, part showgirl mask. Epperson's body, which is beanpole thin, skirts gender differences. His form is a hanger on which he drapes ideas, a series of lines he animates into cartoons. The breast portions of his strapless gowns move in one direction, while his flat chest sways in another, the same way that breasts, when they're cast as objects of fantasy, do have lives of their own. Epperson impersonates flamboyant, fame-obsessed divas because their appetites are naked. He revels in trash and recreates the tantalizing state before taste develops. It's a polymorphism where all books are intriguing because they're intelligible, all brands of ice cream delicious because they are sweet, all movies thrilling because they eclipse reality. In this period, boy emotions and girl emotions aren't distinct. Epperson's drag is purposely crude. Kicks are extended without pointed toes. His body is always unpadded. As a man, he resurrects the bliss of dancing in front of the mirror in underwear, a time when anything that feels good can be embraced without moral or aesthetic rationales. Making a spectacle of himself, Epperson becomes lovely, claiming this freedom.